Hello, everyone, and welcome to Reliving the Extreme. Nate Maxson, your host, here with you. And just to let you know, I wanted to let you all know before the show starts this week, I had some terrible, terrible internet issues with my own internet connection. So the show's going to be, it's going to sound choppy. And actually, my internet completely died near the end of the show, so I'm not even on the end of the show. But I just wanted everybody to know why the quality isn't very good this week. But I did want to get the show out to hear our discussion of the next episode of ECW. So without any further ado, here comes, and I apologize, a very choppy edition of Reliving the Extreme. All right, this week on Reliving the Extreme, we are the 7th, 1996. Nate Maxson, your host here, along with my brother Aaron.
Hello.
And Moose Cholak. No, I'm sorry. It's Chad Austin.
I'd rather be Moose Cholak.
I just saw these. I don't even remember what Facebook group the other day. These guys are arguing about the legacy of Moose Cholak. And I'm just like, I can't. I can't be a part of this conversation because I don't know. I know the name.
That's my go-to. Like, once anybody ever fucking argues about Bruiser Bedlam's, you know, bullshit. Oh, Moose Cholak. Seriously. You know, how bad can it be? Like, our podcast is supposed to be the worst that it is. But once you mention Moose Cholak, you know, we're entering a whole different realm of bad. But it takes people that are smart to, you know, to get it, right?
Yeah, well, and those guys, it's like an enigma. Like, I never saw anything that I really enjoyed about Moose Cholak, but in his little area, he was fucking over. He was fucking over, and you can't deny it. It's just like, as much as I don't like him, those people that went to see him fucking loved him.
Dude, I'll deny it. I'll deny it until my fucking bank card don't fucking work. Fuck, what are you talking about? Denying it? Where was he over? In the north, in Detroit?
Yeah, like that this area of the country, Ohio, Indiana.
So he was a big star in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, probably before I was even born, but yes.
Well, he wasn't a big star in my neck of the woods when I was born. Because when I was born and Dick the Bruiser brought him back in, I don't know, what was it, 84, 85, whatever that was? Yeah, seriously, dude. He was just a big fat guy. Big fat guy.
Like your Mike Dawes and your PN News.
Right.
Who was the other one we were talking about last night? Oh, Mantar.
Well, that's PN News.
Mantar was not PN News.
They're all the same people.
I think
Dallas Page.
I think Mantar.
They're all the same people.
No, I didn't look them up on Ancestry.com, but I'm pretty sure they were related somehow.
Mantar and Dallas Page?
No, Mantar and PN News. Dallas Page could inspire them to both.
I think they're both dead.
He's like, I got Jake off the smack. I can get you guys off the Little Debbies.
Well, is that what you think?
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, I can get Mantar off the Little Debbies. That's fucking awful.
All right. Anything else before we get into the CCW episode? I don't have a lot of notes on this episode because it's just kind of a two-match show. There is some angle development, though, throughout the show. But we start the show in the ring. We're still seeing footage from Hostile City Showdown this week. Bubba Ray Dudley is in the ring with the Pitbulls, as is, I think, Chubby and Sign Guy. I didn't see DW this week, though.
So DW is on later.
Oh. Well, I missed him then.
Yeah, do your job.
He's the last of the Mohicans.
I have to be a little bit honest here, because not only am I friends with Bubba, yeah, I thought Bubba did a great job.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. I'm sorry, I don't mean to veer off the ECW show again, but do you think Bubba's going back to the WWE?
Now?
Yes. He posted something a couple of days ago about April 5th, 2024, Philadelphia, which is WrestleMania weekend, and he just got taken off the TNA roster page on their website. So I'm wondering if he's doing something with WWE.
No, honestly, I don't think so. I think he's still TNA.
I'd say if he's doing anything, maybe he's going back as an agent. I don't know if he's going to. I don't see them putting him on TV.
I don't know. I saw that thing where it was like he had posted something about April 5th or whatever. And then I just saw, I think it was yesterday that it was posted that he was taken off the TNA roster page. So I didn't know. I didn't know if maybe he was going back there to do something. I don't know.
Well, Bubba himself even said that he didn't know anything about whether or not he or Devon were going in a Hall of Fame. But, you know, that's radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kayfabe. So, you know, but I could totally see it. Why not?
The funny thing is, it's 2024, and he looks better than when he was there in 2004. Like he could come in now and like fit right in with the younger guys. He looks better now than he did 20 years ago.
Well, dude, the one thing, like, you know, I like Mark a lot. We've never had bad words, never at all. Every time we've met, it's always been good. He's always been what he thought was best for the business. Mm-hmm. And he thinks that every day on Busted Open, you know, he thinks it then. And he thinks that when he has his own little, I don't know, when he has an old little outlaw mud show thing going on, like he thinks it then, like, you know. That's great. I totally appreciate. I totally applaud that. It's great.
Yep. It's, hey, if you're Bubba Dudley or whoever you are in wrestler,
he's
you are
Bubba
wrestler.
Dudley,
you are,
man.
You are wrestler and X in the wrestler X
Bubba
business.
Bubba Dudley. He's Bubba. Yeah,
I think if he's going back, it won't be on screen right away. I think he'd more than likely go back and they'd use him as a producer, what? As they call him now.
He's going to go back with Devon.
I don't think Devon can wrestle anymore. At least on the WWE health standards of it, because he had, what did he have, like a double bypass or whatever with his heart?
Something. All right. It was something
I'm
serious.
Sorry, guys. Can I pull back the curtain just a little bit here? He's going to go back into the WWE Hall of Fame with Devon. Yes, he is. Yes, I'm telling you. I mean, that's what it is. I have no problem with it. I mean, me, am I? I don't know. Nate, you tell me. In 30 years. Is a Dudley ready to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, now he is?
I thought they already were.
I'm checking right now. I want to see. They're definitely a Hall of Fame tag team. Let's see. Oh, yeah. They actually went into the Hall of Fame in 2018, the WWE Hall of Fame. So if they're going back to work for WWE, then they're already Hall of Famers, but. All right. I'm sorry. I got us sidetracked. We have this match here.
Shut up.
It is Bubba Dudley or the Dudley Boys versus the Pit Bulls. But there's shenanigans before the match. I think they're alluding to the fact that Francine gave Bubba a stiffy.
Well, the fans were because they chanted Bubba's got a Woody.
Silly.
Yeah.
But then Devon.
And go Francine ahead. Francine motioned with her hands that it was a short Woody. Like she said like this. So then like she mentioned it was like a racer length, and then Bubba like with his hands was like, it's at least four. And she actually made him laugh. Like, and I don't think it was a working laugh, quote unquote. She like Bubba actually kind of popped Francine a little bit with it. Yeah, they were having fun. And I don't know what he called her, because they bleeped it, but I don't know what he called her. I don't know if he called her a whore or a slut or whatever, but I don't know what it was.
Yeah, it was a long beep. Like I couldn't make it out. Like they didn't leave any of the word in whatsoever, so I couldn't make it out either.
Yeah, I don't remember. I wasn't there anyway, so. Yeah, but I think it was Aaron, I think it was slut. Cause slut was the easiest thing for the guys to say, right?
Yeah. It's gonna get a pop from the ECW crowd. Oh, he called her a slut. But anyway, Devon then comes to the ring when Bubba's stuttering and pretty much says, you know, cut that shit out. It's ridiculous. Obviously, using Devon as a way to make the Dudleys a more serious act. Because, you know, these guys like Chubby and Dances with Dudley. I keep saying they're going to go away, but really they are eventually going to go away. They just keep coming back up like a bad penny. But, This is the beginning of getting us to what the Dudleys are going to become, using Devon to.
Well, I'll say this. I looked at it like you ain't kidding, Nate. That is what the Dudleys are going to become. That motherfucker sat out there and waited for Devon to say what he was going to say, which could have been. What Devon was gonna say or should have said, was supposed to said, you know what I mean? And he said it. And damn, there you go, the Dudleys. You know what I mean?
And
that could have went three different ways.
And Devon, in the getting the Dudleys into like being the badass heels or whatever, did a great job at it, and he really came off as being a badass. I don't know. Chad, you might know. I don't know. But in real life, he might be a badass. I don't know. I don't know if Devon was a guy that was like, you know, somebody you didn't want to fuck with. But on screen wise, he came off as a guy you didn't want to fuck with him.
No, Devon was a fucking, Devon was a darling, but, you know, we all were. You know what I mean? All right, well, once the camera's on, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? But Devon was a little different. Like I wasn't that way. You know, I'm not gonna hurt nobody. Devon, fuck, he certainly would hurt somebody. Especially because he didn't even know any better. That's the biggest problem. Devon didn't know any better. Don't forget, Devon's only been in the business 2 or 3 weeks before he even got there. You know what I mean? He didn't know.
He's a babe in the woods.
Fuck, he didn't fucking know. So everybody's no selling him. Like, all right, whatever. And then they're all like, dude, this guy don't fucking know shit from Shinola. You know, like, what the fuck?
Well, Devon gives the Dudley commandments, and then the match starts between the Dudleys and the Pitbulls. And of course, we go to the outside of the ring. We're fighting. They interrupt the match and say that we're going live via satellite to Long Island, knowing Pauly dangerously could not afford that satellite. But anyway, going live ECW via satellite to Long Island, where ECW is filming a training video. They in what looks like a warehouse.
Tommy Dreamer, like Tommy Dreamer trained.
Tommy Dreamer trained who? A pit bull?
Apparently.
But yeah, Tommy, yeah. they take us to where Tommy and the Pitbulls are supposedly training, and they're doing a training video in a warehouse that looks like serial killers might perform their acts there. Joey Styles tells us that Dreamer has picked the Pitbulls to be his partners for a six-man match on the 11th of April, or May, I'm sorry, but they have been attacked. And that's all they know at this point, so they're going to send us back to the match. Joey being, you know, reporter on the spot was effective.
I mean, the angle they're doing isn't a bad angle. It's actually kind of cool, but live via satellite while we're showing you our post-produced show seems kind of silly, but I mean, it is what it is.
Like we've already said, Aaron, we've already done it, four, five, six, 8 weeks before. The post-production, enough, right?
Yeah, it is kind of, I don't know. I agree with you, Aaron. It was kind of, I see what they were trying to do. They're trying to, you know, hype. They have to get from point A to point B to hype the show for this coming weekend. But it is kind of clunky the way that they break into the post-produced show.
The way it would have been better would have been like at the beginning of the show, having Joey being like, you know, we're going to show you highlights from Hostile City Showdown while we're live here on Long Island to get ready to show you the Pitbulls and Tommy Dreamer. Like, it should have been, we're live, but we're going to show you post-production. But instead, they were like, we're going to show you post-production, but we're going to break in live. Like, that doesn't make sense.
It's stupid. It should have never happened. It should have been just, either you show it, you know, via tape or not.
Right.
Don't fucking, you know, I mean, what was the, you know, break in lot? That's, whatever it is. I ain't got
we'll
time
come back
for that.
To the.
Also, real quick to go. Oh, just to go back to last week. Remember, we couldn't remember that referee's name. It wasn't Jim Molyneux.
Yeah. The mullet guy.
Yeah, it's Paul Richards.
You know his name.
I figured it out.
Did they say it during the segment and I missed it, or did you just figure it out?
I wrote it down.
Here's me a Christmas card. Yeah, okay.
Well, if you're listening, Paul Richards, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, Tom Finnegan, Jim Molyneux, Paul Richards. I don't know his real name, but that's his name on the show. But anyway, go ahead, Nate. Sorry.
Oh, you think Paul Richards could be his possible real name?
We get back into the match between the Pitbulls and the Dudleys. I wrote down here the shitty Dudleys are being creepy about Francine on the outside of the ring, so she pretty much lays waste to them, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, Chubby grabbed his dick or whatever, like towards her, and then she started smacking him around.
Like, don't grab your little bud and coming at me, you little fat fuck.
Yeah, you little chubby.
I think she laid out.
I never saw that. Too. He grabbed his dick.
Yeah, he like grabbed his little thing and like, and then she started kicking the shit out of him, and it's like she beat them up like the rest of the match. Like, the match was going on throughout the crowd and in the ring, and Francine was just kicking the shit out of DW and Chubby Dudley.
That's because he grabbed his dick? That's fucking great. That's a great spot, man, right?
Like, I was watching, and I'm like, man, Chubby Dudley and DW Dudley would probably usually have to pay for that kind of treatment. So they were getting it for free. They got a hot dog and a Coke afterwards, and they're like, oh, we got smacked around by Francine. They probably liked it.
Guy's little hot dog walked around. Sad. It's awful.
Well, then meanwhile, back in the ring, the Pitbulls give Bubba's big ass a pretty impressive super bomb. I'll say that.
Yeah. Bubba's not scared, man. You know? Mm-hmm. Bubba's not scared to take the kind of bumps, Aaron.
But
I mean, the super bomb was impressive, and All that, and then after all that, Devon, he cracks both the pit bulls with the chair, and then neither one of them go down. And then I think the Dudleys attack Francine, don't they?
They don't attack Francine.
They confront them.
They do show Devon like stalking her with the chair, but then he winds up hitting the referee instead. But even after that,
they end up chasing her, but the pit bulls are more concerned with fucking super bombing the ref instead of saving Francine.
Yeah, and then they just kind of cut this short, cut it abrupt. We don't get a finish. We like Aaron said, we wind up just closing the segment with the pit bulls giving the super bomb to the referee, and that's that. That's all she wrote for this segment.
Fucking there was no finish. Stupid, dumb super bomb.
Fucking Paul, the ref was fucking, I don't want to say scared, but he knew, like, he was worried about it, and he didn't even try to hide it because they picked him up for that fucking super bomb, and he, like, clutched his hands around fucking Pitbull 2's head. If you notice that, like, he didn't even try to sell that he wasn't, like, along for the ride. He was like, I gotta hold this guy's fucking head. It looked really bad.
Yeah, I agree, man. It looked sad, as Aaron would say. It looks sad.
Well, after we get Joey Styles, after this match, we get Joey Styles telling us that we can have all this action in the Hostile City Showdown by buying the VHS tape of the show. The Matter of Respect show coming up on the 11th. He says that Sabu and Rob Van Dam will have a rematch from the match that airs on this show. The Tommy Dreamer, Brian Lee six-man tag will happen. Shane Douglas battling Too Cold for the TV title. And then we get to the Sandman. They start showing us a Sandman Missy Hyatt video, but then they cut in with another satellite feed back to Long Island. And we learn from Joey that it was the Eliminators that attacked the Pit Bulls. And they've
apparently snapped fucking Gary Wolf's legs in half, and they're all mutilated now and everything.
They split his legs in half.
So fucking stupid. I don't understand interrupting a post-producted show with a live feed. It's so fucking
stupid. Well, it's the Pitbulls. Come on. You can't do a fucking interview with Dan without doing it five or six times. Seriously.
And then they show a stupid Tommy Dreamer in the back of an ambulance with his Lex Luger pants. He's got like Lex Luger Zubaz pants.
Yeah, he's got his like Express pants and a ripped up shirt. And they've already got the fucking bandage around his head like he always has. And he's all upset and his titties are hanging out. And he's just like, "You want to beat up the Pit Bulls?" And then he does like the gangsta's X symbol. Like, "You beat them up now, Eliminators. I'm gonna hook up with the gangsters," and he's incoherent in his promo. But Joey understands.
He's incoherent.
Yeah, he's a fucking fat mess.
I love incoherent.
Incoherent Tommy Dreamer.
I didn't think Tommy was incoherent, but I love incoherent Tommy Dreamer. If that's the case.
Incoherent. Who's better, incoherent Tommy Dreamer or put upon Tommy Dreamer?
Incoherent.
Yeah, probably.
Because at least incoherent Tommy Dreamer is in his own situations. Put upon Tommy puts himself in other people's situations. And I don't like that.
Nobody asked you. Yeah. Incoherent Tommy Dreamer was how he felt about a situation.
Put upon is the gimmick that Tommy Dreamer stole from Tommy Cairo, because originally, right, back in the day when we were talking about ECW, it was put upon Tommy Cairo. He was the one getting himself in everybody's business. Then Tommy Dreamer stole his gimmick.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Aaron. I didn't mean to step on you. I don't mean that at all.
It's okay. I'm just saying, like, I prefer a coherent Tommy Dreamer.
I call him stupid Tommy Dreamer. Fucking dummy. Dummy Dreamer.
Well, after we have incoherent Tommy Dreamer, we essentially get the discovery that the Gangstas will now be replacing the Pitbulls in the six-man tag match coming up on May the 11th. So it's going to be Tommy Dreamer and the Gangstas against Brian Lee and the Eliminators. And that's going to be the match.
That's a Mac classic.
The only thing that doesn't... Okay, I understand why they did all of this. Okay. I understand why they did all of this. They did this because they were saying, oh, the Pitbulls were going to be in the match with as Tommy's tag team partners because they're friends. And then Brian Lee's going to team with the Eliminators. So we have to have the Eliminators get the Pitbulls out of the match so that Tommy can bring the Gangstas because the Gangstas are feuding with the Eliminators. However, the only thing that doesn't make logical sense was from the beginning, shouldn't Brian Lee's partners have been the Bruise Brothers?
You would think so.
I don't know. It's a stupid loophole, but it doesn't make any sense that he was.
It's not even a loophole. It's why wouldn't they be the partners?
Like, I ride with these guys every day except May 11th when I ride with the Eliminators.
They already rode over to Vince, probably.
Well, that you can't argue that, buddy. That's a huge signing bonus.
That's the only thing I could decide or think is they already went to Vince.
Jacob and Eli Blue.
No, they were the Blue Brothers in 95, and I don't think they come back to the WWF till 97. So 96. I think they're still in ECW at this point. They haven't gone anywhere.
Are they still on the show?
I guess we'll find out. It will be really funny if on the next show they have a tag match with somebody else that wasn't even involved in that six-man match. Then it's like, really, why wasn't Brian Lee teaming with them?
And then they get pinned. So it wasn't them.
Well, the next match on this show is Sabu versus Rob Van Dam. And I didn't take a lot of notes on the match, not because it was bad, like I always say, but because I was watching the match.
Yeah, well,
I was going to ask you two guys, do you want to go out and take a cigarette break? Do you want to take a pause for this? Or how do you want to address this?
Oh, we can just roll with it. Because, again, I don't have a lot of notes, like, specifically
it's
about the match.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, my first note is my lack of notes is going to mean this is great. Because it was. It was a fantastic fucking match. The only, like, main note I have is there was that spot where they had the, I don't know if you guys are even going to remember this, but they had that spot where the table was on the guardrail and the ring, and Sabu tried to, like, do, like, a jump moonsault onto the table to, like, Rob, and he slipped. And Rob, not wanting to lose the fucking crowd, he cracked the fuck out of Sabu with that chair. I was like, that was a fucking hell of a goddamn chair shot.
I don't know if it was the same spot that you're talking about, but there was one thing that I noticed that was like, it was almost, you know, sometimes with Sabu, and this is not a knock, it just is what it is. You know, sometimes with Sabu, you can kind of see him setting something up.
Yeah.
Obviously, like blatantly. So there was the spot where he was supposed to put Van Dam through the table. And there he had for some reason, which during at the moment it wouldn't have been logical, he had also set a chair beside where the table was. And then they go through he's not successful in putting Van Dam through the table because Van Dam like escapes his clutches or whatever. So then Sabu uses, that might be the one you're talking about, where he runs up the chair over the table onto Van Dam.
No, it's a different spot because in this one he tried to do it.
It's a fucking chair spot.
Yeah, he slipped off of the table. Like, he tried to jump on the table, and he slipped on it. So, like, he goes to jump on the table, slips, and Van Damme picked up a chair that was, like, on the side he was, and just fucking levels that chair.
What the
and
fuck
when
that?
I watched it, it was, like, the spot in the match where it took me, like, it made me go, oh, shit. Like it was a rough fucking chair shot, and I say
it's
what you
stupid.
Want to say about chairs, but it was rough.
It means he's stupid. Everybody told Sabu he was stupid. Everybody did. Fuck.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I'm just saying these guys tore it up, and if Rob's injury was legit, because they said he had a. Like Joey said, going into the match, Rob had a broken right wrist. If going into it, it's like fucking Rob tore it up, man, and he needs some props for it because this was a good fucking match.
Great match, man. I mean, them two guys. It's like me wrestling my buddy Shane Shamrock. You know, it is what it is. We can go out there. We can go out there and tear it up. You know, and Shane Shamrock's not a name. I'm not a name, you know, so to speak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we were out there. We had great matches like that. But that's what they did. And, look, it's a bigger stage. Good for them, man. It was great. I thought it was a great match. I mean, I don't know what to say. Van Damme looked good. Sabu looked like Sabu.
Yeah, good stuff, man. They definitely all right. So
sorry, Nate.
I was just gonna say, and I know Sabu has great rivalries with other people like Taz and shit like that, but would you guys say is it a fair assessment to say that, you know, because you hear the thing where, you know, Ric Flair's greatest opponent was Ricky Steamboat, or Bret Hart's greatest opponent was Steve Austin or whatever. Would you say that in his whole career, Sabu's best opponent was RBD?
Well, who are you asking?
You guys. Do you think that Sabu's best opponent was RBD? Like, as far as just, you know, because like I said, he had rivalries with Taz and other people and had good matches with them. But overall, RBD, to me, is probably my favorite Sabu opponent.
That's a dumb question. Yeah, of course. Yeah, dumb question. Aaron, I mean,
I agree.
Can you think of a dumb question? Maybe, was Jason Knight a great interviewer?
How do you like my dumb question?
Rob also did a fantastic move. I don't know if you guys will remember this, like watching the match, but he did like he took the chair. And he put it in the ring like he was going to do, like, the triple jump moonsault that Sabu does. You know, where, like, he'd put the chair in the ring, hit the rope, and then jump off.
Right.
And he jumped over the fucking chair and the ropes and did, like, a senton into the fucking crowd. And I was like, that was fucking amazing. Like.
So you set up your long patio furniture and you tried it.
No, I'm not going to try that shit.
Why not? Come on, Aaron.
My knees don't work that way.
He wants his knees and hips to work by the time he's 50.
Yeah. I just think, like, if you want to see how amazing of an athlete Rob Van Dam was, it's like, go back and watch. Like he was great in the WWE, don't get me wrong, and everything, but it's like, go back and watch, like, 90s, like, this 96 through, like, 99 Rob Van Dam. It's fucking stupid how athletic that motherfucker was.
No, Rob Van Dam was always good, always spectacular, always, always, yeah. Steal the show, man. That's his gimmick, right?
Yeah, and it's like, A lot of guys can say it, but he did it.
He did it, man.
I don't know what happened to Nate. Nate dropped off.
What, ECW or Robbie? Damn.
Nate, his fucking feet cut out. But he the said, match goes he said, on.
He said he dropped off, man. Sorry, Rob Van Dam.
Well, I mean, I don't know what Rob does now. I haven't watched AEW. Isn't he in AEW now?
Sometimes.
Is he still good? I don't know. I don't watch AEW, so I don't know what he's doing.
He's not Rob Van Dam, dude. So, no. I mean, he's Rob Van Dam when they bring him out and he does. He's not Rob Van Dam. I'm more Rob Van Dam than he is. Put it that way. I'm way more flexible and way more able to do whatever he does than he is. And I don't do anything.
Well, the match goes on. And like I said, it was a lot of good fucking action. And Sabu ends up hitting a triple jump moonsault off the chair onto the ropes and then hits the moonsault on RVD and wins. And Sabu applauds Rob Van Dam, points at him, and attempts to shake hands with RVD, and
that's
RVD
great,
refuses.
Man, that's great.
Oh, it's a great angle, and it's showing that Sabu is willing to put this guy fucking over, and Rob Van Dam is the new.
All right, I'm not
the new heel in the company.
Shut up. You can't spit it out fast enough. Aaron, I love you. But no, it is what it is. It was fucking Sabu said, "All right, man, look, I can't do this without you. I need you. Help me out. Let's do this against the fucking Dudleys." Right?
Yeah.
Aaron, right?
Right.
All right, well, don't get all mad at me for cutting you off. Shit.
I'm
fuck.
Bad. Hey, my boy, like,
coffee and stuff.
I'm just saying I like the fact that Sabu was being the guy to say, hey, this dude's the man, and he went toe-to-toe with me, and I'm going to shake his hand, applaud him, and Rob Van Dam was being the cocky little shit heel that didn't want to acknowledge the guy that was there before him, and it got Rob over as a heel very, very quickly.
Okay, that's what it did.
Because it was going to be really like, how do I say it? It shows kind of like, I don't want to say the genius of Paul, but the mindset of it would have been really easy to get Rob Van. It would have been very easy to get Rob Van Dam over as a babyface starting out in ECW. But Paul went the other way and was like, "Hey, it's going to be very easy for the people to love you. Let's go ahead and make them hate you." You know what I mean? And the best way to get them to hate you is for you to shit on the guy that they all love.
Well, that's a fucking God damn, man. It's a corny move. It's hard to explain to you guys because you guys don't understand. But that's a corny move. Of course it is. Once we get them to hate you, they are going to love you. Like, yeah. That's a corny move. Somebody's going to love you, man, right? No matter what you do, somebody's going to love you.
It's kind of like we were saying before. It's not the same thing, but it's like how they went with Brian Pillman. It's like it's going to be easy. Like, these fans are going to be super. It's very easy to get the people to love Brian Pillman, but let's shit on them. You know what I mean?
Fuck Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman was an anomaly because Brian Pillman was going to be who he was going to be. That was no. Fuck Brian Pillman. It does take Brian Pillman out of the equation. it doesn't even matter because it never happened anyway. So babyface, heel, whatever. Everybody wanted to like him, but where was it going to go? Right? Wrong? Yeah. No. I mean, fuck, you can put Mark Henry in there.
But anyway, that's the way that match ended. And then the last image we have on the show is a live cut back to Joey Styles talking about the beating of the Pit Bulls and Tommy Dreamer on Long Island. And the Eliminators show up and they have blood all over their hands and they're talking about how they took out the Pit Bulls and they understand now the gangsters are going to replace them. And it almost seems like the Eliminators wanted to take out the Pit Bulls because they wanted the gangsters to be in the match is what I took from it.
That makes sense.
But that's how the show ends, is with the Eliminators cutting a promo on Tommy Dreamer and the Gangsters.
Well, the fucking so with that, the Gangsters wanted to cut promos on anybody that was going to cut. They were going to be there, but who was left? It was going to be. I mean, who was left? What was left? And why were they left? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where were they at? What in the back of the arena? Who are you talking about? The Public Enemy? Them stealing cars is fucking is futile to me. They ain't stealing cars. Them guys ain't even stealing hearts.
That's the end of the show, and that'll be the end of this show. Chad, I don't know where Nate's at, but Chad, if you had to give this a rating, what would you give it?
I'll say it was a solid B. Like the show, man.
I dug it. I'd give it a B minus. Like I said, the only thing I thought was it was kind of silly interrupting a post-produced show with live stuff. I think it should have been the other way around.
Well, then don't post-produce us.
I don't produce anything on this, and that's on Nate's job. But
well, you don't produce anything.
Well, with that being said, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Chad, thanks for being on tonight. Do you have anything you wanna plug before we cut out?
Yeah, follow me on Chad. Everything you can follow me on,
and follow us on our Facebook page. The WrestleNet Radio, all that. Thank you guys very much, and I appreciate you guys listening. And tell your friends, tell your wives, tell your mistresses, and thank you very much.
Your mistresses.